as a move-on to deny tenure to anybody who's been away from the campus for more than a year. That's ridiculous, Jamie snapped. You got a sabbatical for your time on Mars, didn't you? The sabbatical was up last year. My department head said he'd handle the paperwork so as I could stay on Mars as long as I needed to. But now the university administration is cutting the legs out from under him. Me too, looks like. Jamie glanced back at Dex. He looked grim. Hasdrubal went on. If I can get back before the academic year ends next spring, I ought to be okay. But I can't stay on Mars and keep my job. They've made that clear enough. Son of a bitch, Dex said softly, carefully pronouncing each word. I could talk to them, Jamie started to say. Wouldn't do any good, Dex said. The university's caving into the fundamentalists, just like Penn did to get rid of Carlton. I can't believe that, Jamie said. Believe it. This is just another one of their cute little tricks to kill the Mars program. Dex's voice dripped acid. I'll have to start checking some of the other schools. Cute. Stay on Mars and lose your job. Real cute. That's what I'm up against, Hasdrubal said. That's what we're all up against, said Jamie, feeling hollow inside. Nah, you got tenure, Hasdrubal said. You're okay. Dex grunted. How long do you think it'll be before those psalm-singing sons of bitches get the universities to start reviewing their tenure appointments? Tithonium Base, return. They were a glum trio as they rode the buckyball cables down to the valley floor and trudged to the dome, toting Hasdrubal's sample cases. Jamie glanced at the people working on Carlton's excavation as they passed by the pit in the dying light of the day. They all were working busily away at the dig. Like ants, Jamie thought. Mindless ants. The three men hardly spoke a word to each other as they went through the airlock, vacuumed the dust off their nanosuits, and then pulled the suits off and hung them on their racks. Dex muttered something about meeting with Chang and headed off for the mission director's office. Hasdrubal put all six sample cases on a cart and pushed it toward the biology laboratory. Jamie stood alone by the airlock hatch and gazed out across the dome. The place looked quiet, subdued. No excitement, no purpose to any of it. They all know they're going to leave soon, he thought. They all realize that the best we can hope for is a caretaker operation. Their work here is finished. Their careers aren't on Mars anymore. Their lives aren't on Mars. He felt tired, utterly weary, defeated. Where's Vijay, he wondered. She's usually at the airlock when I come back from outside. She knows we're coming in. We sent the word to the excursion controller. Why isn't she here? Because she has her own work to do, the other side of his mind answered. She's got more to do than run into your arms every time you come back from an excursion. Still, he felt disappointed. She's always there to greet me. Even when I fly home to Albuquerque, she'd be at the airport. Even when I came back after Jimmy died. He started out across the dome toward the infirmary, telling himself she must be working. Maybe some emergency came up. Somebody got hurt or something. Several people nodded hellos at Jamie as he strode across the plastic flooring. He nodded back and gave perfunctory greetings. Hey, good to see you back, Dr. W, said Billy Greycloud. I've got something to show you. Not now, Billy, Jamie said, brushing past the young Navajo, not looking back to see the hurt expression on the kid's face. As he neared the entrance to the infirmary, a new thought struck him. What if something's happened to her? What if she got sick or had an accident? He hurried to the infirmary. Vijay was in Nari Quintana's office, deep in earnest conversation with the chief medical officer, their two heads bending toward each other over Quintana's little desk like two schoolgirls sharing a secret. Jamie stopped at the office's open doorway, feeling immensely relieved and more than a little exasperated. She's all right. Nothing's happened to her. Then why? Before he could speak a word, Quintana noticed him and flinched like a woman caught by surprise. Vijay turned. Her eyes went wide, and she leaped out of her chair.
Jamie! She flung herself into his arms. Oh, my God! I completely lost track of the time. I'm so sorry. I really wanted to be at the airlock when...
He wrapped his arms around her and kissed her soundly.
I'm sorry, Jaime,
Vijay repeated.
You must think...
She glanced at Quintana, who was leaning back in her desk chair with a knowing grin on her lean face. It's okay, he said. I just wondered where you were.
Neri and I got to talking,
Vijay said, speaking faster than usual. Embarrassed or upset or what, Jaime wondered. Quintana made a show of looking at a wristwatch. It's almost the dinner hour. You two go off and get something to eat. I have a lot of paperwork to do here. She made a show of pecking at her keyboard and peering at her computer screen. Arm in arm, Jaime and Vijay headed for the cafeteria. Jaime noticed that Carlton's people were coming through the airlock. It'll be sundown in a few minutes, he realized. The cafeteria was almost empty. Dinner hour was just starting. He realized he was famished.
How'd it go?
Vijay asked as they loaded their trays. Not good, said Jaime. Hasdrabble's bugs have either died off or gone into a spore state.
I mean with Dex.
Even worse, Jaime said. They walked through the mostly unoccupied tables, found a small one near the dome's curving wall. As they pulled out their chairs, the wall turned opaque for the night. Suddenly, there was nothing to see outside. The only way Dex can get any reasonable funding is to bring his big-spending friends here and turn this base into a tourist center. He plopped down in his chair, his appetite suddenly gone. Vijay started to reply, hesitated, then went ahead.
You'll have to let him do it, then, won't you?
No, Jaime snapped. She leaned toward him, placed her dark hand on his coppery one.
Jaime, if you want to stay here, if you want to keep on with the work you're doing here, you're going to have to make a compromise.
He said nothing. Vijay went on.
There must be some way to allow a few tourists here without ruining everything.
They'll want to put up a huge dome to cover the whole area and fill it with air at Earth-normal pressure, he said grimly. That'll kill the lichen. God knows what the oxygen will do to the ruins of the village, the bodies in the graves. It was Vijay's turn to go silent. Bitterly, Jaime said, those buildings in the cliff have stood there for 60 million years and more. How long do you think they'd last in a terrestrial atmosphere? With tourists chipping pieces off them, writing graffiti on the walls?
Oh, come now, Jaime. It won't be like that, and you know it.
He tried to frown at her, found he couldn't. Well, he said softly, maybe I'm exaggerating, a little. He saw Vijay look up, and turning, there was Billy Greycloud standing at his elbow.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. W., but if you have a couple minutes after you're finished eating, could you come over to the comm center? I've got something I want to show you.
A little irritated at the interruption, Jaime nodded. Sure, Billy, after dinner.
Thanks.
The young man beamed a grateful smile and then quickly walked away. Jaime noticed Carter Carlton and several others pushing two tables together. Carlton sat at the head, with several young women sitting at the places closest to him. Vijay smiled.
Kat is taking my advice.
Advice?
We had dinner last night.
Before Jaime could say anything, she went on.
I told him there were plenty of young women here who would be glad to be with him.
In bed, said Jaime. Vijay nodded. You had dinner with him? Did he come on to you?
Nothing serious. Nothing that I couldn't handle, she said.
But she looked down at her plate of soy meat. Jaime half-joked, should I go over there and punch him out? Vijay looked up. Totally serious, she replied.
No need for that, Jaime. His reputation is much worse than he really is.
Really?
Really.
Jaime looked into her midnight eyes and decided to let the subject drop. I can trust Vijay. She's the one person in the world I can rely on. The one person in two worlds. No, make it three if we count Cellini.
The wheels in your head are turning, Vijay said, with a smile that was almost impish.
He shook his head. They're spinning, but I'm not getting anywhere.
You will, love, said Vijay. You will.
But when they were leaving the cafeteria, Jaime saw Sal Hasdrabble morosely pushing a half-filled dinner tray along the counter.